It was a typical British summer's day. A family was going down to the beach, down to the harbour area with the family, and they were wondering what they might do. It had rained overnight, but it looked a bit brighter during the day, and so they went down to the harbour. And while they were there, they thought, wouldn't it be a good idea? Well, maybe today we could go on a boat ride, and we could go and see the seals that are just down the coast a little bit. And so they booked up the trip, they got onto the boat, everything was well in the world, the sun was shining, and out they went, out of the harbour, started to go down the coast, enjoying the scenery and enjoying the ride. And then the guy that was the captain of the boat suddenly got out his big overalls and put them on. And the family began to wonder what on earth was going on. It didn't take too long to find out, because suddenly, from nowhere, the rain started to come. And the wind gradually increased. And the family decided that they better get out their summer cagoules. And they got drenched. As the rain continued to fall, and as the wind got stronger and stronger, and as the boat started to go up and down and up and down. So much so that one of the children got very, very scared and didn't know what was going to happen. They hated the whole experience of being on a boat with not very much over the side, not sure what was going to happen. Eventually they got to the seals, and it still continued to rain and it still continued to blow. And as the captain got closer and closer to the rocks, this child got scareder and scareder, thinking that not only would they capsize, but they might hit the rocks as well. And then, as quickly as the storm came, it went. And they enjoyed a very calm, peaceful journey back to the harbour. It's the closest I've come to what we read about in Mark chapter 4. I won't tell you which little girl was very, very scared. You can find out for yourselves if you want to. But it's the closest that I've ever been. I know some people probably have been in much worse conditions than that. But it shows you the speed of which a storm can come and the devastating impact it can have, and then as quickly to go away again. In Mark's gospel, Mark is painting a picture of the Lord Jesus. At the beginning of his account of Jesus' life, he says, "This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And he's been gradually introducing Jesus and who he is. He's done a few miracles or healed a few people along the way. He started to teach the people, and particularly his disciples, about the kingdom of heaven and what that might look like. But then it takes a turn, a slightly different turn at the end of Mark chapter 4, as we start a passage which talks about Jesus and a number of miracles that he does that shows something more about who he is. This one that we're going to consider tonight is the first one in that series. Jesus has been teaching, and we've read a couple of the parables that he taught about the kingdom of heaven. But then in verse 35, he says, in the evening, he said to the disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side." And so the disciples get on board the boat and go with him to the other side. Everything goes well until suddenly a storm hits. And the disciples are scared for their lives while Jesus is asleep in the back. And so they wake him up, and Jesus calms the storm. And then we get in verse 41, the disciples, even more scared now than they were before, saying to one another, "Who can this be?" Who can this be? A man who can control the wind and the waves. Who on earth is he? I've already given you the answer because Mark is telling a story here. And we get to see something of the Lord Jesus here. We see a little bit about his humanity. Jesus had been very busy. He'd had a full-on day, and he was coming to the end of that time. And he got into this boat, and as he stopped, and as he had this journey across the lake, so suddenly he falls asleep. We're often like that, aren't we? After a full-on day or a full-on period, when we get home, all we want to do is sit in a chair, fall asleep, read a book, watch a movie, whatever it might be for you. Because we can't cope with any more. We're worn out, we're tired. And Jesus is just showing us again that he is like us. But the main purpose is not that. The main purpose is to show us here that Jesus is actually the Son of God. He demonstrates to us his divinity. He calms the storm. We can't do that, can we? However much we might want to try and stop the rain coming or get the rain to come, we have no control at all over the weather. And yet we read here that Jesus does by just speaking the word. All he says is, "Quiet, be still." And the wind ceases, and there is a great calm. Takes us back, doesn't it, to the very beginning of the Bible when Jesus spoke, when God spoke, and the world was created. It was done at his word, and it was done immediately. And that's what we see here in this account, that Jesus controls the weather with his word, and it is immediate. Only God can do that. And so the question that the disciples have, who can this be? Is it can only be Jesus, the Son of God. But I just want to focus our minds a little bit upon what does that mean for us today? What does it mean that Jesus is the Son of God? What can we learn from the disciples here in this passage that might help us in our own lives? And there's just three things that I want to share with you. And the first one is that we need to remember that Jesus has the power to change the situation. You see, the disciples were caught up in this storm. But it wasn't of their own making, was it? You see, Jesus had said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." The disciples didn't do anything wrong. The disciples hadn't made any mistake. The disciples had just been obedient to what God, what Jesus had asked them to do. So why on earth did they face the storm? Why on earth, if they were doing what they were meant to do, if they were doing what Jesus has asked them to do, why on earth did they have to face this storm. And the answer is, isn't it, that that's the only way, really, that they get to know who Jesus really is. You see, the disciples had seen Jesus heal a number of people. The disciples had heard Jesus teaching the crowds. The disciples had heard Jesus explain to them what the parables and what the stories that he'd given had meant. But the only way that they were really going to know who Jesus was to know him in a personal way. They were going to have to go through an experience themselves, not see it happen to somebody else, but they were going to experience for themselves just who Jesus is. And we all face situations like that, don't we? When things happen to us and we don't understand why. Sometimes we make mistakes and we have to suffer the consequences of them. Sometimes people around us make mistakes and we have to suffer the consequences of that. But sometimes Jesus leads us through situations for the reason of just us getting to know him better. Because often we find, don't we, that it is through adversity, through the difficulties, through the storms of life, that that is the time when we get to know Jesus in a more real way. James tells us, doesn't he, at the beginning of his letter, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. We often learn more when things are difficult than when things go well. And here, the disciples found for themselves that Jesus is more powerful than any storm. That Jesus was the one that was able to change the situation that they were in. They were in desperate measures. They thought they were going to die. And yet Jesus was the one that who could change the situation. Because Jesus had the power to do so. Because Jesus is the Son of God. And the disciples were able to learn something more about Jesus through that experience than they would never have done through just watching Jesus working in the hearts and in the lives of other people. And we need to remember the same thing, that it's only when we experience something of God working in us that we will grow closer to him, that we will know him better. Paul tells us in Philippians, doesn't he, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And sometimes when we face different situations, we wonder how on earth we're going to survive. How on earth are we going to get through? How are we going to manage and cope with what we're having to face? We need to remember that Jesus has the power to change that situation. That Jesus has the power to bring us through that experience. Because Jesus is the Son of God. But secondly, we notice and we need to remember that Jesus is present with us in the storm. You see, this was no ordinary storm. This was something quite remarkable. It's an account that's recorded also in Matthew and in Luke as well. And the word that Matthew uses to describe the storm was something like an earthquake. That this was an incredible storm. Remember that 4 or 5 or 6 of the disciples on the boat were fishermen. They were used to being on the sea. They were used to what would happen and the storms that would frequently come in that part of the world. They would be used to these situations, yet this is one where they are scared out of their skins. They were terrified. They thought they were all going to drown. And what happened? The fear that they had paralyzed them. They didn't really know what to do. They didn't quite know how they were going to get out of the situation, what was going to happen. They thought that there was no hope. They had seen Jesus help other people, and they weren't quite sure how Jesus was going to help them this time. He was asleep in the back of the boat. And so they go and wake him up and say to him, in verse 38, they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" They started to complain and say to Jesus, you don't seem to be concerned. You seem indifferent to the desperate situation that we're in. You don't seem to worry about it. It's desperate. We're going to die. We're going to drown. But Jesus does show that he cares, because he gets up straight away and he calms the storm. But then in verse 40, Jesus kind of exposes the real issue that the disciples have, because he says to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Jesus is exposing their lack of belief. They were focusing on the problem and failing to recognize that Jesus was in the boat with them. He was there all the time. He was with them all the time. But they didn't grasp hold of that. And so they focused on what they could see, what they could touch. And they forgot that Jesus had the power to transform situations. They forgot that Jesus was with them. When we come across a situation that we find tough, what kind of response do we have? How do we feel? Do we react in a similar way to the disciples here? Are we consumed by fear? Do we focus on what is happening around about us? Do we remember that God is with us? There's a song that we used to sing in Adventures a little while ago, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Not quite sure that it's that simple, but there is a truth there that we need to remember, that Jesus is always with us. It may not feel like it. We may feel exposed, we may feel very vulnerable, but we need to remember that he is there. And we need to remember that he has the power to deliver us and to change that situation. John tells us in his first letter that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to remember that Jesus has the power to change the situation. We need to remember that Jesus is present with us in the storm. And we need to remember that Jesus will fulfill his purpose in our lives. The disciples had forgotten what Jesus had said at the beginning of the evening. He said in verse 35, "Let us cross over to the other side." Jesus wanted to go over there, and if you read into the next chapter, into chapter 5, you'll see what Jesus had in had what Jesus' plan was as he were going across the lake. He was going to cross to meet with other people to transform their lives too. And the disciples had forgotten that Jesus had a purpose. They'd forgotten that Jesus had come to make the kingdom of God known. And they thought they were going to die. And we need to remember that God has a purpose for you and he has a purpose for me. And that purpose is to bring us into his presence. That one day we will be with him in heaven. And as Sinclair Ferguson has written on this passage, he said that every storm in life is another opportunity for you to see the glory of Jesus and to discover his power in your life. Every storm is an opportunity for you to know Jesus better, to see the glory, to see the power of him working in your life. But Mark doesn't particularly answer the question at the end, does he? As the disciples, once the storm had been calmed, they were feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him." Who is this man? The disciples came to see that this man was Jesus, the Son of God. That this was the man who could control the waves and he could control the wind because he was God. But I wonder what your answer to that question is this evening. Who is this man that was able to control a terrifying storm? Do you see him as Jesus, the Son of God? Do you see him as the one that can deliver you? Do you see him as the one that can save you? Do you see him as the one that you can trust? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what experiences that you are going through. They may well be very terrifying. They may well be things that you don't see a way out of. But I trust that as we just have briefly looked at this miracle today, you will see that Jesus is one who is able to help you. That Jesus is one who is able to save you. That Jesus is one who is able to give you hope. And that he is the one who you will put your trust in. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God.